This is Canvas Cosplay, and in this podcast, today we're going to be talking about cosplay and race. When I say race, I'm referring to the external perception of what a person's identity is based on the color of their skin. So based upon social norms of what is identified as being black, white, or other, which is a kind of a lump sum category for the rest of us, who are neither black, with a capital B, nor white, with a capital W. And you'll see that I didn't refer to those groups as African American or Caucasian American, because black and white can transcend the nationality, which is the American part. There are black, capital B, characters that are non-Americans, just as there are white, capital W, characters that are non-Americans. So for the purpose of this podcast, we'll refer to the black as that being of what is considered social norms for a person of black descent, and white for a person considered of white descent, and Asians that of Asian descent, and other, including Native, Indigenous, First American, and also for Taino, Latino, Chicano, and all the races there. So that's just to preface that. So today's conversation is really taking a look at how cosplay has evolved over the last several years, and kind of the opportunities that have opened up for cosplayers of color. So this month, the Facebook page, POC Cosplayers, People of Color, or Person of Color Cosplayers, a wonderful page, has been promoting a kind of a movement campaign, hashtag campaign of 29 Days of Black Cosplay. And what's amazing and fascinating about this movement is that it showcases the excellence that cosplayers of black descent have demonstrated through their costuming and makeup and design, and also highlights the diversity within the black community itself of how they approach different characters. So what's great is that with different cosplayers, come different point of views and different perceptions of how a character can and should and look like, based upon their interpretation. And I've enjoyed following and discovering new cosplayers that have demonstrated quality craftsmanship and even acting / modeling abilities that are just absolutely excellent. And I believe in this particular movement because, it really highlights some of the challenges that being a person of color cosplayer can be within the overall cosplay community, and that is visibility. So when we're talking about the 29 Days of Black Cosplay, it's really not to disparage or disenfranchise those cosplayers who are not people of color or not black. It's really to celebrate those who are black and who have the skills and the vision, imagination to pull off convincing and excellent cosplays. Now, what I would like to challenge is, the rest of the year as well, is a celebration of cosplay for those who are neither white nor black. So, me being a cosplayer of Filipino descent, which is considered Asia-Pacific area, it's been an interesting experience in choosing my own cosplays and choosing the characters that I want to cosplay. Because I think Asians, generally, are in this very nebulous group of people who can pass for different ethnicities. Now, passing is an interesting topic altogether because it really has to do with gender identity, ethnic identity, racial identity, perception, social norms, social values, and even measuring, you know, what is or isn't ethnic or ethnic enough or black enough or white enough or Asian enough. And being a cosplayer, you know, I have found myself in instances where I've attempted a cosplay of a race different from myself, and being called out on it, and making me feel like an other, or making me, you know, remember that I am not of that particular race. Prime example is that several years ago, I used to be the store manager of a Halloween store, and, you know, Harry Potter was big at the time, and I decided to cosplay as Harry Potter. Now, being a 6-foot Filipino, I really focused in on the design of the hair, the lightning bolt scar, the cape, and the tie, so the whole look, even carved my own wand. But as I was, you know, managing the store, there was a father and a son that came into the store, and they asked, you know, who I was, and I introduced myself because I was a character as Harry Potter. The father kind of gave this kind of like a grimace slash kind of snarky grin that, you know, that, oh, you can't be Harry Potter. Harry Potter's not Asian. And at the time, I felt not insulted at all, but more of sad for his son to be able to see that. I was an adult at the time, so it didn't, you know, really impact me. I have a relatively thick skin. But for me, it was more of a wake-up call that our work as society, as a people, you know, really isn't done yet. That there's still a part of society, a segment of society, where they subscribe to a belief that unless you are of a particular race or a particular external appearance, then you can't be something, or you're not qualified enough, or you don't belong. And that really impacted me as a person and as an artist, just thinking about my role in society and my role as a performer, and it made me really self-conscious about you know, the choices that I would make in cosplay. I mean, should I not cosplay characters of a non-Asian descent, or should I just stick to Asian characters? And being an Asian of darker skin tone, it even puts me in a much more interesting subset of the group, since, you know, a lot of Asian representation in video games and in manga and anime, you know, depict a very light skin, you know, sort of skin tone, and which almost, you know, for some American sensibilities, they read that as being white. Which is, interestingly enough, in Japan, they see these characters as being Japanese, but I kind of digress. That said, is that it, you know, it puts me as a cosplayer into an interesting space of, well, who do I cosplay, or should I be limited by my cosplay? And so this is several years ago, and, you know, over time, you know, we've seen much more prevalence of people being more open to being able to choose, you know, which cosplays they're really attracted to, or characters they have an affinity for, and it makes me happy to be able to see, you know, people being able to choose to be whomever they want to be. And then I think when Frozen, the movie Frozen, came out recently, and, you know, what's depicted there is, you know, very much a Northern Europe setting with two sisters, you know, who appear to be of white descent and with the white skin and the blonde hair. And even though it's not, you know, specifically said that these characters were of any particular ethnic origin or national origin other than Arendelle, they appeared white. And there was a meme going around for a while about cosplayers who were black who wanted to cosplay Elsa. And, you know, they were known as the Black Elsa. And that really stuck out to me, because if you're an actor or you're a performer and, you know, you're taking on the character, you're looking to portray a role, it's not that you're looking to portray Black Elsa. You're looking to portray Elsa in however you choose to interpret Elsa in your own way, through your own sensibilities and your lens and your training, etc. However it is Elsa to you. So when people, you know, refer to, you know, black cosplayers who are cosplaying Elsa as Black Elsa, or you're going to be Black Iron Man or Black Catwoman, well, it's not that you're portraying the Halle Berry Catwoman, you're just portraying Catwoman. And so I've always, that always stuck to me as a person of color, of what that perception is and what people, you know, deem acceptable. For example, Sailor Moon, who is Japanese, yet is, you know, cosplayed a lot, if not mostly, by people of white descent. Now, when a person of black descent cosplays Sailor Moon, you know, people quip, "Oh, that's the Black Sailor Moon." Well, no. Y'all are all cosplaying a Japanese character. You know, don't forget that. So, and to me, I kind of laugh at this, because it's fascinating, just the inherent ignorance that sometimes happens of what, you know, especially if it's coming from Japan, where those characters originated, and paying kind of respect, you know, to that, at least acknowledging it, if not, you know, paying respect to it, but just acknowledging the fact that perception is relative to the eye of the beholder, and sometimes to where the perceiver is coming from. So I know I'm rambling a bit, but the areas that, you know, I do want to continue to explore are really relevant to something that the actress Viola Davis recently said during her speech at the SAG Awards. And I've always respected Viola Davis because not just of her, you know, choice and power in her characterizations, her portrayals of rich characters, but also that she is someone who places her being an actor above all. You know, she's not a black actor. You know, she's an actor. And that's where, you know, I find, you know, there's something refreshing about kind of dispelling the limitations that comes with being an actor or being perceived, you know, of you can only qualify to portray a certain role because of, you know, whatever external limiting factors may be. And she has a quote about society in general and her observations that we've become a society of trending topics. Diversity is not a trending topic. It's just not. All the actors of color I know don't place any limitations on themselves. Regardless of what's going on with the Academy, regardless of what's going on in Hollywood, they will find a way to be excellent. We always have and always will. And I think the key word here is excellence. And I think that cosplayers, whether they be white or black or, like me, other, I think that those who, you know, find the creativity within themselves and harness their imagination and utilize their craftsmanship skills and abilities can transcend those limitations that society might place on them and be able to create amazing work that is not just beautiful, but it can also be respected. And I hope that as a community, we continue to grow and evolve to look beyond that person is black, they can't be, you know, Sailor Neptune, or that person is white, they can't be Luke Cage, you know, and be able to see a little bit more into what unites all of us as cosplayers. And that's truly, you know, the passion for bringing something into life, and for whatever reason, and we all have our own reasons, but to be able to manifest those passions into concrete, visible forms that we can all appreciate, you know, within the craftsmanship space. So I hope that the movement, you know, for recognizing excellence in cosplay, whether you're black, white, other, is something that continues, and you know, I do credit, you know, the folks over at POC Cosplayers for really shining a light, you know, on excellence. And I think that's where, you know, we need to continue to strive towards excellence. And I know myself, you know, I would love to be excellent in what I do, and there's so much more for me to learn, you know, from cosplayers of all ethnicities, of all nationalities, cultural backgrounds, skill levels, different genres of fandom. There's so much more to learn, and techniques and abilities and even point of views. And hopefully that's something that we all continue to celebrate, you know, is the richness and the diversity of perspective and of experience and of passion. And we continue to honor the material that we are choosing to cosplay. And when I say honoring, it doesn't mean like, you know, setting limits on yourself. I know for myself, I've cosplayed different characters, you know, as well. And for me, my real passion is being able to truly appreciate that character in its entirety, you know, from all of its, you know, all the cultural aspects that inform that character and everything that I've learned from it, and even in the crafting of that character, the physical crafting of the costume piece, etc., but being attuned to that particular character and its importance. So, I know I rambled on for more than 20 minutes now, but hopefully we'll continue to have these conversations about excellence in what we do as cosplayers, and being able to, you know, transcend those limitations that sometimes we put on ourselves, you know, those hindrances that we tell ourselves that, well, I can't be Luke Cage because I'm Asian. Well, you don't have to be Asian Luke Cage, just be Luke Cage. And, you know, of course, I'm going to say this whole conversation about blackface or whiteface for a whole different time. But be able to acknowledge, you know, that you can be whomever you want to be. And that's what cosplay allows us to do. And to be able to transcend those cultural norms and barriers sometimes. So that's where I would like to see cosplay evolve. And I'd love to hear your thoughts as well, too. You know, whether you're a cosplayer of color or a cosplayer of non-color or a cosplayer of other, you know, I'd love to hear your thoughts as well, and, you know, see where you all fall into the spectrum. You know, is it a challenge? Maybe it's not a challenge. And I think it's, you know, being a cosplayer of color that is not black, I think I bring, you know, an interesting perspective as well. So, and I think that's what we should all celebrate, is that we all bring different perspectives, you know, into this community that we're in. And I think that, you know, we're all going to, you know, grow and learn from it, and let the excellence of our craftsmanship and our ability to create great cosplay, you know, stand on its own. So thank you all, and I will talk to you soon.